Hey everyone, welcome in. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast. We'll be talking about the waiver wire and answering questions from the listener mailbag today. I'm Bobby Sylvester, and you can find me on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro. Our guest today is Brandon Warney, who writes all over the place, including Fangraphs.com. You can find Brandon on Twitter at Brandon_Warney. That's W-A-R-N-E. Hey, Brandon, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a pretty exciting day to be on the podcast with you.
It's our pleasure. We really appreciate you coming on every time you do. I'll tell you what, Brandon, I've been doing some plumbing work this afternoon. Ugh. It is such a relief to step away and talk about fantasy baseball.
Yeah, get to the minutia instead of the actual things that really matter.
Yeah, that's right. So, Brandon, I want to start with Trey Turner. I mean, he's hit near back-to-back cycles. He had the cycle, and then he had a homer, double, and single at Coors the other night. You know, I was starting to think that I was right about this guy. I was really low on him compared to everyone else. And now he's looking amazing after these couple of good games. I know it's still early, so a lot could happen, but people were saying before the season, he might be an MVP candidate in the National League. How high are you on him? Are you a little bit pessimistic like me?
I mean, I took him over Corey Seager in a league, and obviously that's not paying off, at least not in terms of playing time. But, you know, the things to keep an eye on are the walk rate, just 2.2% right now.
Good point.
11-1 K to walk ratio. So if he can be exploited in the strike zone, there might be some difficulty there. But it's really hard to argue against the results that we've seen so far, you know, and I'm not sure that there's enough evidence to really be that down on him. With that said, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously flaws in his game, but he's just so dynamic and so exciting. Double-digit home runs, might be up for 40, 50 steals if he can stay healthy the rest of the way. There's a lot to be excited about with this guy, and you know, they're going to find a way to get him in there every single day, and that's the big part, too.
I think it's pretty obvious that batting average regression is coming, and so runs regression, RBIs regression is coming as well. I don't think his power really sticks around, but you look at him with all his stolen bases, and he has a really safe floor. He's like these rushing quarterbacks in the NFL. You know they're going to pile up the fantasy points, even if they're not very good passers, because they just run the ball so much. It's the same with Trey Turner. He's going to steal 40. 50, maybe even 60 or 70 bases if he's healthy the entire season. No reason to think he won't be healthy. That kind of player is irreplaceable, and I'm starting to come around on him a little bit, but I'm still crossing my fingers that I was right in the preseason for ranking him a lot lower than everyone else.
Well, he plays for an old school manager too, and I think that's going to benefit him as far as steals are concerned.
That's a good point.
So I think that there's obviously going to be a lot of steam behind him, and I think it's all merited, even if he doesn't hit 300. Or obviously 320 or anything like that. I still think he's going to be a very, very valuable fantasy asset. And I think he'll make people happy they spent the price that they did to get him.
Someone else in that National League East, Noah Syndergaard, we found out was held back from his start for bicep soreness. That is really concerning to me. I own him in a dynasty league, paid a ton to get him. Do you think this is a big thing, or they're just being cautious like last year?
Well, I don't know. I did see somewhere that UCL stuff can manifest itself as a bicep issue and bicep stiffness at first. So I don't know. I'm a little worried. I'm a little jarred by that. I'm not going to let myself get too far down that path as far as worry. But yeah, you know, anytime a guy throws this hard, especially, you know, sliders at 92 and whatnot, that's scary. But you hope for the best, but pitching is an unnatural act. And if he ends up being hurt, I'm going to be, you know, as unsurprised as anybody else, but I'm knocking on wood and hoping for the best here as a guy that owns him in a 20-team league that's 100% forever keeper. So I hope he's all right, and I hope it's just a thing where he can start this weekend, but I just don't know what to think right now.
I'll tell you what, 20-team league, you lose a piece like Syndergaard, your season's basically over.
Yeah, fortunately, I've built through prospects, and so I've got a lot of depth. Yeah. I mean, just an incredible amount of depth, but I am worried. I am significantly worried because if he goes down, we don't have disabled list spots either. So you just got to kind of piece it together. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Rough.
I'm not looking forward to it.
The way I am as a fantasy owner, I turn over every single rock. So right now, Noah Syndergaard's trade value is in total flux. You have no idea what it is in your league. So if I own Noah Syndergaard, I'm seeing if anyone's willing to buy him at his current value, like as the 15th best player in fantasy baseball. And if they are, I'm definitely selling. On the opposite end of things, if I don't have Syndergaard, I'm calling the guy who has Syndergaard and seeing what it would take to get him. Maybe I can buy him for, like, I don't know, a 50th overall type of value.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get that, and what is there, maybe a 20% chance he's out for the season, I'll take that gamble every single day. So I would just encourage everyone listening to the show, turn over every rock. See what you can get Syndergaard for, and if it's a great value, jump on it, even though he's got this risk here.
Yeah, I think I would absolutely do the same. It's just a matter of where are you in the standings, what do you need, and all that. If there's a move that makes sense for you where you can be predatory, so to speak, I think you should do it.
Now, there's a player that was called up just the other day who I think has just as good a stuff as Noah Syndergaard. I know that's saying a lot, but Julio Urias, what is he, 20, 21 years old? He's got future Cy Youngs, multiple in his future. If he's not available in your league, I think you have to pick him up. Where do you stand on him?
Yeah, I mean, they sent him to Oklahoma City, and he was still 6 years younger than the average player at AAA. I mean, it's just incredible how young and polished and incredibly gifted he is to this point. I'm all over him. I have him in our Fantasy Pros League on Yahoo, and there was a tough pill to swallow when he wasn't up to start the season, but you know, now that he's up and ready to rip, you know, get rip roaring and ready to go, I'm glad that I held, because if you drop a guy like that, someone else is going to snap him up.
I'm jealous. Yeah, I'm really jealous. I was crossing my fingers that someone would drop him. I didn't know it was you that owned him, so I'm kind of disappointed you didn't.
Yeah, the tough part with that too is that the disabled list stuff with the 10-day DL, teams have been very liberal about their usage of it, and so I've taken a hit there too with Buster Posey and Gary Sanchez. Both having issues. So it's been a tough start to the season. For Urias, he's down AAA Oklahoma City. The only real issue he had was walks. And in a three-start sample size, anything can happen. So I'm trying not to put too much stock into it. Plenty of strikeouts, and you know, he clowned guys in the big leagues last year. So if I was putting too much stock in a three-game sample size at AAA, I should probably just be taken out and beaten. So I think Urias is going to be just fantastic for them this year. And that's already a pitching staff that is fairly gifted, obviously, Clayton Kershaw. But, you know, they're getting some good work out of Alex Wood for as long as he stays healthy. Knock on wood, I guess, pun intended.
Oddly.
But, yeah, so I'm excited about him.
In regards to trading with selling high and buying low, I think Urias is the kind of piece that he's definitely going to dominate. I think as long as he gets a shot, he's going to dominate. But they're going to limit him probably to 120 innings because of the type of phenom arm he possesses. And so when you're coming into the playoffs, you're not going to have Urias. I'm waiting 2 or 3 months, letting him dominate, and then I'm selling him high. Maybe he'll start off the first month of the season really hot. And probably not quite like Eric Thames, but this is a really good young pitcher. So I'm riding his stock until it gets real high, and then I'll be looking to sell him. I think he'll be able to get a ton.
Yeah, I'd have 60, 70 innings of his in my back pocket and then flip him. That's probably what I would do for someone who I know is going to be there at the end of the day.
Brandon, let's move over and take a look at the waiver wire. I want to start with Devin Mesoraco. I've had a couple questions on Twitter. The Reds are calling him up. People are really excited. You look at what he's doing in AAA. He's batting like 150. This is a guy who hasn't hit in like 4 years. I'm not excited about him. I'm telling everyone, just chill it, like wait 2 weeks. Maybe he'll get picked up by someone else, but that's not going to be my headache. Are you optimistic about Devin Mesoraco?
I mean, it all depends on, you know, where you stand as far as catcher-wise, because obviously the position is shallow in two catcher leagues. It's shallow in deeper leagues. And so if it's a need, you know, if you're starting someone like Jason Castro, a guy that I'm very familiar with here in the Twin Cities, then yeah, I might go look at him. But you're not, you know, you're not dropping a JT Realmuto or any of those top 7-8 guys. So, you know, unless you're stuck with someone like Yan Gomes, which I don't know why you would have drafted him in the first place, you know, I'm probably staying away just because it's been so long since he's been a good offensive player. Now, with that said, you can catch lightning in a bottle here in a 14, 16, 18, 20 team league, whatever. And if he's still out there in those leagues, you absolutely should pick him up. Let him ride the bench for a little while. See if he gets hot, because he obviously plays in a home park where he can help you quite a bit with power, especially from the catcher position. 25 home runs in his peak season back in 2014. So it all depends on league construction and what you need. But I do think there's a certain swath of fantasy player who can really use him, and there are some that should run in the other direction screaming.
That's a really good point. I mean, if you've got one of these deep benches, you might as well take a shot. He has plenty of upside. He has a lot more upside than some of these second catchers.
For sure.
I mean, I was one of these guys who was trying to be all cute. I drafted Tom Murphy and Mike Zunino, and I figured one of them's going to turn out. Well, I mean, I guess Tom Murphy's going to get his crack here soon. We'll see if he even gets full playing time. But Zunino's been a disaster. And so I need all the help I can get. I drafted those guys in a lot of leagues. So it doesn't hurt to put a guy in your bench and just wait and see what he does. Maybe he turns into a top 10 catcher. If he does, you strike gold, because there is no catcher to pick up on the waiver wire.
I mean, do the Rockies like Tony Walters enough to start him over Murphy? Is that the worry you have? I mean, I don't think
it's just the pitch framing.
He's a good defender, and Walters is a good defender. I think he actually converted to catcher. I don't think he's caught for his whole life. Maybe I'm wrong, but he's fantastic back there. And so it'll be interesting to see how much Murphy wrangles playing time away, because I do know that some of those guys like throwing to Tony Walters.
In the last 3 months of last season, Tom Murphy was one of the best hitters in baseball between AAA and MLB. So I hope he gets his shot, and I hope his bat is still hot enough.
Especially in that
amazing
park.
So yeah, especially in that park. I mean, their park in the minor leagues is a very good one as well. But it had my mouth watering. If he's available in your waiver wire, I'm definitely picking up Tom Murphy. There's a reason I held on to him.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look around. I know that I'm catcher starved in a couple leagues, which will be bound to happen if you're in six or seven leagues like I am. It's a blessing and a curse, man. I tell you what.
Yeah, yeah. It's like tight ends in football. I hate it. Gross. You have to get one of these good guys. Yep. Except, I didn't. I didn't this year. It was a horrible mistake.
You got to piece it together otherwise.
Yeah. Anyways, I've also had a bunch of questions about Ahmad Rosario, the shortstop for the New York Mets. He's batting .397 in AAA right now, top 10 prospect. What do you think about him? Is he worth a stash and wait till they call him up? I think the Mets have to call him up soon, right?
So, I mean, are you thinking they cut bait on Jose Reyes, move Cabrera over to third and play him at short? He's only played one game at third base so far this year. And, you know, shortstops can usually play third base.
He's a shortstop, through and through.
Yeah, but I don't think you're gonna bring up a kid and move him. You can move Cabrera, who has really been off to, I think, a fairly good start this year for the Mets.
I mean, Jose Reyes might be the worst player in the major leagues right now besides Byron Buxton. And Byron Buxton's even hot
lately.
Buxton's
turning around, yeah. It's,
for his standards.
It's been a struggle for him here, but Texas was good to him. So I went and got him in a league. I traded Berrios for him. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I think I would look at Rosario probably, I don't know. I mean, he does only have 19 games above AA. So there is some question that, and also it's a PCL thing, where they're in the Pacific Coast League, good offense.
It's like the whole thing's Coors Field.
And yep, in Vegas, I believe Baseball America's Matt Eddy did a Park Factor post the other day that everybody can read. They should go check it out. And I think Vegas was crazy offensive environment. So
it's top five best in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. Noah Syndergaard had a 4.5 ERA in Vegas. So against minor league hitters.
I mean, I would tamp down his potential a little bit. But man, a talent that's 21 years old that is this good, you still got to keep in your back pocket. So yeah, I'm stashing him in a lot of leagues because I also feel like the Mets can tend to be fairly aggressive when they feel like they're really not getting enough production. I know they probably want to keep Reyes around because of the legacy, which feels weird to say about a guy like that. But they also need to make things happen because they've got an uneasy fan base that wants to win, and they're going to do whatever they have to do. So I'm definitely stashing him.
And they're in trouble right now. I do think they're going to call up Rosario fairly soon, but I'm on the opposite side of the fence here with him. He's got zero homers. A lot of that .397 is BABIP-induced. I know he hits the ball pretty hard, but so much of his flair is defensively. It's with running bases. I mean, he's not going to steal you 40, 50 bags like a Trey Turner, so it's not like that kind of impact player. Maybe he'll get called up and hit .290, and that's really nice to have in a middle infielder. But I'll tell you what, if he plays 400 at-bats, he's not going to hit 10 homers this season. It's just the power is not there yet. He's a scrawny 21-year-old, and eventually he's going to grow into a fine fantasy player that's probably drafted in the top 80 or 90, but I don't really think he's fantasy relevant this year as a rookie. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets called up and struggles at the plate, kind of like Dansby Swanson is,
sure,
because he's not polished at the plate. And Dansby Swanson, look, he's a great player for the Braves. Rosario is going to be a great rookie for the Mets, but not necessarily for fantasy teams.
Yeah, that's a good point. I kind of like that too. And is that enough to turn the lights off on Reyes? I don't know. I mean, they're not paying Reyes very much money, been kind of predatory on that front. So, Maybe they won't. Maybe I do stand corrected.
Another middle infielder that a ton of people are picking up right now, Hernan Perez for the Milwaukee Brewers. Another guy that I was low on this offseason. Looks like I was wrong here. I think he's probably one of the best pickups right now. Are you with me?
I mean, he's going to play all over, and he's one third of the way to as many walks as he had last year, which is obviously encouraging. That's the one thing I didn't really care about. I mean, a guy that can give you infield eligibility, especially up the middle with double-digit home runs, you can't sleep on that in most leagues. But that strikeouts to walks, nearly 100 strikeouts and under 20 walks. It's scary. He looks like he's reworked some of that stuff today, or this season rather, and Milwaukee is a great place to hit. So I think you got to be aggressive on that front. And maybe he's just a little bit of a slow bloomer. Keep in mind, this is just his age 26 season. So it's not like he's a finished product either. So I'm going to give him a look and see where he starts stealing playing time in Milwaukee. And he's going to be interesting.
Yeah, the Brewers are scoring so many runs with all these weird guys that no one thought was fantasy relevant this time last year.
Right.
You've got Domingo Santana, Eric Thames, Keon Broxton, all these weird guys, Hernan Perez, and they're scoring so many runs, and I think it's going to keep up.
Yeah, well, it's a great place to hit, first and foremost, and they still have Ryan Braun, which he kind of becomes the forgotten man, you know, the elder statesman of that roster. But yeah, I think they're just super interesting. Jonathan Villar, who nobody knew anything about before last year as well, was one of my sneaky pickups. Who knows, maybe Hernan Perez could be that for someone else as far as kind of carving out some added value. You know, he's not going to do the things that VR yeah. does as far as stolen bases, of course. But he's going to have value and he can kind of fill in everywhere. That offense is so much fun, even though it's not a lot of household names. It's Braun and a bunch of other guys that are just kind of carving out their way. And you know what? Players who are hungry are a lot of fun like that.
If you picked up VR last year, you probably won your championship because he was the most owned player on championship teams last year.
I lost in the final. Yep.
So
it was
a bummer.
It was actually he and I had him and Trey Turner, and so stolen bases were not an issue for me. I think we just ran into a tough week. Actually, it was a 2-week championship, and I think we just ran into a tough week with offensive production and just kind of fell apart.
Hey guys, I've got a quick message from the sponsor of today's show. I've been telling you about Draft. I've been playing a ton lately. In fact, I did a draft right before this episode recorded. You do a snake draft with Draft. It's a DFS game. You do a snake draft every single day, whenever you want. You can play for free, play for real money. I drafted Adam Wainwright tonight, and I'm really excited about this. Everyone in my draft was probably like, what is this guy doing? But Adam Wainwright is great at home. I think I'm going to win some money tonight. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost 200% better than your chance of winning planes daily salary cap fantasy. So go ahead and join me by joining Draft now. Just type Draft in the App Store or Google Play. It's going to come up first and enter the promo code Fantasy Pros when you sign up. You're going to get a 100% deposit bonus. That's Fantasy Pros, all one word for the promo code. All right, Brandon, let's get back to some fantasy baseball. We've got a couple more waiver wire guys before we get to the listener mailbag. Tim Beckham has been hot lately. Again, I've been telling people don't pick him up. It might last another day or two, but it's not going to last another week, let alone another month or the full season. Are you a believer in Tim Beckham? Is this real? What's going on here?
I mean, it's tough just because obviously the talent was there at the beginning when he was drafted. And, you know, he had a decent offensive season last year. Just 25-2 strikeout to walk ratio. I can't avoid. I can't ignore. I know he's got 4 home runs. I know he's just pounding the ball. But I just feel like he doesn't have the plate discipline to sustain it. And I know shortstop can be a tough spot, especially if you miss out on top-tier guys, Carlos Correa's, your Francisco Lindor's, who are just killing it. I'm running in the other direction from Beckham. I just don't see any way it can continue. He looks like an Eddie Rosario clone to me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely with you there. I mean, I don't even understand how this guy's starting for a big league team. I mean, sure, you could put a bunch of replacement-level players in the big leagues, and some of them are going to have a hot week here and there, but that does not mean you should let them drag down your fantasy
team.
Well,
and can he hold off Duffy when he comes back or what, you know, whatever they end up doing with Matt Duffy, because I think he's not Matt Duffy. I'm sorry. You know, it is Matt Duffy. I get confused with him and Chris Duffy from previous years. I think Matt Duffy is not too terribly far away, and then I think he goes into a utility role and they send Robertson back down. So, you know, they've had some great offensive depth, and I just don't see a way that Beckham holds his starting job moving forward, because it's just, I think Duffy, considering he was the primary thing they got back in the Matt Moore trade, they're going to have to give him run at short, and I just don't think Beckham can hold him off.
Now, Brandon, there's two pitchers that I think are worth talking about. I'm not especially excited about either of them, but we got to talk about them because a lot of people are adding them, and our listeners want to know if they should add them too. Tyler Skaggs, starting pitcher for the Los Angeles Angels, former top 50 prospect. You know, they're taking baby steps with him, not letting him pitch too much, but he's looked good when he does pitch. Is he worth picking up?
That pitching staff is just scary when Ricky Nolasco is listed as your number one on the MLB.com depth chart. He's one of those lefties where you're just never quite sure what you're going to get. He reminds me a little bit of a younger Scott Kazmir in that, you know, good stuff. Obviously, the command can be scattershot at times. Not really a consistent ground ball or fly ball guy, But the talent is clearly there, you know, mixing low 90s stuff with good secondaries and all that. It all depends on your need, but in deeper leagues, I definitely give him a look. I don't think in a... It'd probably have to be deeper than 12 unless I was really in a pinch pitching-wise. So, again, I just... They can't keep people healthy out there, and I always wonder if there's something more to it than that. You know, right now, let's see, they got Tropiano on the shelf, Richards on the shelf, Heaney on the shelf. I mean, that's three-fifths of... That's 60% of a really good rotation, all on the disabled list, all on the 60-day DL. So I'm hoping that Skaggs can kind of shake free from that injury-plagued moniker, but I'm just not sure that I trust it. We'll see what happens, though.
I am not in agreement that it's a very good pitching staff there in Los Angeles of Anaheim or whatever it is they're called.
Oh, I just mean the guys that are on the disabled list are good.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I like Tropiano more than most, but they're not studs. It's just that, yeah, it's a mash unit out there.
The other guy I want to talk about is James Shields, who has had three really good outings. I understand he's dealing with some injury stuff now, but he's available in a lot of leagues, and this is a former very good starting pitcher. I know he's old. I know he's given up a ton of homers and had that horrible stretch where everyone thought that he was like going to retire soon because he was so horrible, but he's looked good so far, so I'm willing to pull the trigger and add him just in case this is the real deal.
I'm staying away. 5.4 walks per nine, 1.6 homers per nine. Yeah, and a 150 BABIP. They are hitting the ball in the air against him. I'm running in the other direction, but I respect your hustle because this is obviously a guy who is just 2 years removed from being a very, very good fantasy asset and 3 years removed from being the ace of the first good Royals team. So it's not unprecedented that a guy like this could go through a hiccup. Obviously, a little bit of turmoil with what teams he was going to be on and getting traded and all that. And if he figured it out, I would gladly take the egg on my face. But at this point, I'm just running in the other direction.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if you have to pick up James Shields, you're in big trouble right now. So hopefully your team is not in that situation. Brandon, let's go ahead and move on to the listener mailbag. And if you're listening and want to send in questions to the listener mailbag, it's easy. Just email mailbag@fantasypros.com. And hopefully we'll get some on the show. Put your first name and what state you're from if you want. That's what most people do. First question's from Cody from Virginia, and he wants to know what Bryce Harper's true ceiling for one season is. Like, could he have the best offensive season of all time if he puts it all together and stays healthy?
I would say so. I just think that he's that physically talented. I'm not sure if he can put together the best fantasy season of all time. He hasn't stolen a base yet. And I feel like if you're going to have...
He could if he wanted to, but I don't think he's going to.
And that's I think, what's missing from him being, you know, number one with a bullet, whereas, you know, Mike Trout might steal 30 bases, hypothetically. And so I just think, I think he could be, his ceiling is the greatest offensive player of all time. But the problem is we also have Mike Trout, who has like five straight 9-win seasons. And so, you know,
his floor is like top three in the MVP for Mike Trout, right?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen anything to suggest he's anything other than like a cyborg playing baseball in a fullback's or tight end's body, playing a capable defensive center field. So I think he's, you know, I don't think he's going to overtake Trout at any point, but is the number two player in baseball?
He could.
Yeah, he could. I just mean track record, he's got so far to go and he's, you know, age-wise. But I have to say that he, number two player in baseball is probably his ceiling. You know, year to year, he could be the number one guy for sure, but he's just unbelievable. I refuse to put any kind of limit on him because the sky is the limit, or the ceiling is the roof, is the joke in college basketball these days. he's incredible, and I just can't say enough about him.
I want to talk stats here. Like, could he hit 380? Could he hit 60 home runs? Maybe both?
Yeah, I wouldn't take one-to-one odds on it, but if there's one guy that could do it, it's him. He's an absolute monster. And the only thing getting in his way has been himself as far as staying healthy. And the biggest thing has been how healthy is the shoulder. And at this point, there is no reason to believe that there's any issues. So
he's still a baby. I mean, we might not have seen the best of Bryce Harper yet.
I think I got him for $60 in my auto new league, and it's a $400 budget. And even then, I'm thinking,
that's a steal $400 budget.
I'm keeping it. There's no way I'm throwing him back. Because after last year, people thought, he's going to throw him back. No way.
It's looking good right now. I've got him number one in my rest of the season rankings. I am a big believer. I understand he's got some more health issues than a Mike Trout or Clayton Kershaw. I don't know, maybe not as much as Clayton Kershaw, but from what I'm seeing, I think he's the best hitter in baseball.
For sure. Yep. I 100% agree. at least in the National League, but him and Trout back and forth, if you picked one or the other, it's pretty hard to lose. And I think you got to take Harper based on early results this season.
What we're seeing is really special between these two. And we've got a long way to go here. They're superstars. Next question, Mike from California wants to know if fantasy owners should be most worried about Manny Machado, Carlos Correa, or John Lester, who have all had really slow starts.
Oh,
especially Lester, last two outings, 5 earned runs in both of them. That scares me.
I was prepared for John Lackey, which is funny. I was like, oh man, yeah, John Lackey would be the easy answer. John Lester, I don't know. I mean, you're always going to be more concerned about the pitcher, because if you read Jeff Passan's book, The Arm, when Lester did, when he did his medical check with the Cubs, they did find some bone chips in his elbow or something. So it's something that he's pitching with, and you're always going to have wonder if he's going to need to get that cleaned up. So I'm always going to worry about the pitcher. I'm not worried about Machado at all. Machado's got a contract no. coming down the pike here soon that's, you know, he's got too much to gain from not working hard and figuring it out. And Correa, just madly talented young player. So I'm always going to be more worried about the pitcher than I am the young stud hitters. Now, young stud hitters can have off seasons. You know, Harper alone last year, and then 2 years before that, had a couple hiccups. And even on You're the right. hiccups, you know, they're very good seasons. It just shows the difference between gods and mere mortals. But I have to go with Lester here.
I'm definitely with Lester as well. I'm wondering about Manny Machado and Carlos Correa. Let's say they stay healthy, okay? What is the lowest you could see them going in a fantasy draft next year? Could either of them drop out of the top 30?
No, I just don't see any.
I don't think so either.
Based on position rarity, because you got a third baseman, you got a shortstop, I don't see it. I just don't think
there's Machado, I think, will probably qualify at short again next season, too. I can't see either of them dropping out of the top 20, even if they have a bad season.
I was hesitant to say top 12 and or 15 or whatever, and even then, no, I just don't see it. I just don't think there's any way.
Next question from Brandon in Arizona, and I like this one. This is a lot of fun to talk about. Who has the best pitch in baseball, and what is it?
Wow. I feel like it's maybe Aroldis Chapman's fastball.
It's really
or
good.
Kenley Jansen's, was it his cutter that he kills people with? Like he just crushes people, yeah. He just clowns people with. I mean, as far as a starter, it probably has to be something that is either maybe Noah Syndergaard's slider coming in the low 90s or something Clayton Kershaw throws. Pretty much anything Clayton Kershaw throws is phenomenal.
Or Lance McCullers' curveball. I really love Jarrell Cotton's changeup.
Yep, that's dirty.
I don't know if you've seen this thing. He only gave up 2 hits off his changeup all year last year.
Yeah, it's absolutely
I don't care
incredible.
If he's a rookie. That is a great pitch.
I'm also, though, kind of off the radar. I'm keeping an eye on Dylan Bundy's slider-cutter hybrid, because that's also a really, really intriguing
That is an
pitch.
Animal. Yep. That pitch is disgusting.
So, and I can't believe the Orioles wanted to take that away from him. You know, it's just funny how their organization is against the cutter. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's probably one of those closers throwing either their best stuff, you know, whether it's a fastball or the cutter from Jansen. But Zach Britton's sinker is also in the conversation. I don't know how anybody ever hits the ball in the air against that.
I think that's the best one.
It might be.
That's my number one. My number two belongs also in the Orioles bullpen, believe it or not, Darren O'Day. He throws this rising fastball. I know he doesn't throw especially hard, but you watch people try to hit that thing, and the stats against that pitch are just terrible.
Well, just
he is a very good pitcher.
It's a trajectory you can't replicate with anything.
Yeah, it's like hitting a wiffle ball. Yep. I mean, it doesn't matter how much you prepare for it. Like, what are you going to do in batting practice? You can't prepare for that.
You can't. Absolutely not.
All right, next question comes to us from Tyler in South Dakota. Who is the non-Eric Thames fantasy MVP through 1 month? And I'm glad he said the non-Eric Thames, because if you drafted him, you are so happy right now. I know he might not be the best hitter in baseball right now. Bryce Harper and Freddie Freeman are pushing him, but based on the value alone, I think it's pretty clear he's number one. So Brandon, who's your number two?
I mean, if you want to mix, it might be Mike Trout, 6 homers, 5 steals. Bryce Harper, though, hitting .432, nobody else hitting over .400. If you want me to go off the radar a little bit, you could go Mitch Haniger based on where he was drafted versus the production. Now that he's injured, it's going to obviously, you know, tailspin a little bit. So I think I have to go Bryce Harper as far as raw MVP, because a .430 batting average, you just can't replicate. But if we were going conditional based on all-around value Trout, and then again, perceived value versus actual value, you're probably someone like Haniger. Avisail Garcia has been incredible, which has been just stunning to me. So I don't know. Is that a cop out to do three different answers?
I don't think
so. If you nail me down to one, it's Harper.
It's an open-ended question. Yeah. I mean, that pretty much covers everything. I think Dylan Bundy is the guy.
Sure.
Based on value alone, you look at what he's doing, I think that's going to stick. I think he's a legitimate ace, maybe a Cy Young contender this season.
Irvin Santana's been incredible, too, for the Twins. I know it's not a lot of strikeouts.
He has been for a few years. The ERA just hasn't quite been there. Obviously, the win, because the Twins don't win games.
Right, but sub-1 ERA, he's just been in command. And I know there's a lot of unsustainability in his numbers as far as strand rate and all that stuff. But he, other than the home run he gave up to Joey Gallo the other night, he was just dealing. So he looks really, really good.
Joey Gallo looks like he's hitting it off a tee. And I know he strikes out a ton, but man, oh man, because that guy mash.
Don't sleep on Miguel Sano either. He's been incredible offensively.
I'm buying low on him right now.
Walk leagues and all that stuff, he's been just awesome.
Mike from Texas has the last question. He wants to know if there's a better chance that Mike Trout ends up as the best hitter ever or Clayton Kershaw ends up as the best pitcher ever.
Wow, that's a really good question. Give me Trout just because of the attrition rate of pitchers. And I feel like Kershaw's got a long ways to go, and frankly, so does Trout. But the back stuff is probably, from last year, what gets me out of Kershaw. The other thing is, you know, how flimsy is best pitcher ever as far as statistical? Because, you know, there are the guys, Christy Mathews and Cy Young, the 1-500 and 380 games and all that.
Had an ERA under 2 like 8 times.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, when you're comparing eras, do you go to war and then it's... you know, wins above replacement, not World War One. Right?
Who do you think the best pitcher of all time is? Is it Mathewson?
I mean, that's tough,
I
too.
I think the best but he just didn't pitch long enough.
Pedro Martinez is in that conversation. Greg Maddux is in that conversation. Randy Johnson's
Roger
probably.
Clemens, Randy Johnson. We saw a lot of them
In just that one era. And then you've got Walter Johnson. You've got Christy Mathewson. You've got Grover Cleveland Alexander from the olden times. And... you know, how great was Cy Young? How great was, I mean, Nolan Ryan kind of gets swept under the rug because, you know, all the walks.
I don't know if he's top 40.
No,
I'm not
like
on
he
the
is,
Nolan
but I know,
Ryan.
I know everyone else is on the Express. I'm actually off the Express. But, oh man, there's just all kinds of names and it just depends on your criteria. So I think if I had to pick one, it's probably Pedro in terms of if I had a, like 1999 Pedro, if I had one starter, Greg Maddux around that time would probably be my top two.
Yeah.
Because Maddux was a magician. I got crazy retweets. I once tweeted this, and it was the dumbest thing ever. I said, I once hired Greg Maddux to paint my house, but he only painted the corners. And I must have had like, 300 retweets on that. And so it was just my first like ever viral tweet. And I was like, you know what? That was actually kind of brilliant, and I didn't even realize it. So it was kind of funny.
I like that a lot. That's really good. Yeah, Pedro in 99, 2000, 0.76 whip in the height of the steroid era. Best of all time. He was the best. He was so dominant then. I think if you go back, Walter Johnson is probably the best in that era. It's so hard to compare the two.
I'd love to know how hard he actually threw it in that era because, you know, they talk about the pitchers not being as good or throwing as hard. I mean, if he was
he's no Sid Finch, that's for sure.
Yeah. But I mean, if he was throwing legit cheddar at 94, 95 back when guys were sitting in the high 80s, that's.
You know, and swinging 50-ounce bats.
Right. Yeah. To be a transcendent talent, like Babe Ruth hitting more home runs than teams did. Like, the transcendent talents are the ones that stand out to me, and it's harder to do in this era because of the caliber of athletes that are playing the game.
Yeah, changing the ball game, that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. I mean, they lowered the mound after a couple guys were so dominant back
Bob
there in
Gibson.
The 60s.
Yep. And Denny McLean.
I 1.12 ERA. I don't know if Kershaw's ever going to be like that. I mean, he would have to get his ERA under 1.5 for maybe 2 or 3 seasons and pitch until he's 45, kind of like Randy Johnson
did. I don't see that coming. Yeah, I
don't see it happening either. There's just too many things that could go wrong. I mean, he played football in high school as a center with Matthew Stafford as his quarterback. And I bet that wore on his back. I bet that's why he has back problems because offensive linemen take a beating. Yeah. So I think the answer is Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, we're talking about comparing him to Barry Bonds and Babe Ruth, who both changed the game completely.
And
I think Ruth changed it more.
He'd need to do
it
in 15 years.
What could Mike Trout possibly do to change the game? I just don't see it happening. I think the answer is neither.
Yeah.
Maybe Seth Beer. Maybe Shohei Ohtani.
There you go. Shohei Ohtani is really exciting. But I just don't know. Yeah, if Ohtani can do the Babe Ruth thing, which I don't think he can. Maybe Brendan McKay can do that. From Louisville.
I don't know. They have to give him a chance first. That's the first big obstacle.
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
And even if Ohtani does get a chance, like he's never going to be an MVP type of hitter.
No, no.
And Babe Ruth was almost as good as Pedro Martinez as a pitcher. And then he changed the game as a hitter.
Isn't that incredible? It's just why I go back to him as the greatest player of all time, even though I'm sure the
greatest athlete of all time.
It's incredible.
Like, and far beyond Michael Jordan. Yep. In fact, I think Bill Russell's the best basketball player of all time, but
got the takes. You can get some angry emails.
Yeah, I mean, that's all right.
Hey, angry
emails. I'll fight him. 12 championships, 11 championships, whatever it was. Can't even put all his rings on two hands.
Don't at me is what you got to say. Tell people not to mention you on Twitter about that one. You don't want to start any fights.
I want to start fights. Bring it. Bill Russell, bring it, people.
Put gas on the fire.
Yeah. All right, Brandon. That's all we have for the show today. Thanks for coming on again and looking forward to chatting with you next time.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And for those of you guys listening at home, we've got two more episodes coming for you next week. Subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. Check out our Fantasy Pros Football podcast, which I also host with Mike Tagliere. We're going to be doing a draft special on Monday and then another episode next Friday. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. So make sure to tune in. Thanks for listening and enjoy your baseball. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.